Let's catch up with some of the day's news stories from the UAE, and we'll start with the news that the UAE's Telecommunications Regulatory Authority, the TRA, has revealed just how many cyber attacks they've succeeded in preventing in the first quarter of this year. Mohamed Suleiman from the ARN News Centre joins us now. Hi, Mohamed.
Hello, Claire.
Good to have you here.
Good.
Start, I guess, by telling us the numbers that we need to know around this story.
Right, so from January to March this year, the TRA successfully foiled 289 cyber attacks. Now, the TRA actually has a special team to handle online threats. They're called the UAE Computer Emergency Response Team, or AE CERT for short. So they've said that these 289 attacks mainly targeted government and quasi-government websites, as well as websites of private sector firms like local banks. Now, of the first 3 months of this year, January witnessed the largest number of attacks with 136. Just three of those attacks were against private sector firms, while the rest were against government sites. Now, earlier today, I spoke with Abdulaziz Al-Zarouni, who is an information security engineer at AE CERT. I began by asking him what kinds of attacks they were faced with.
We are trying to track and take down any attacks that we get reported by our constituents. And in the first quarter, we foiled 289 incidents. Many of them were spam, phishing, and other attacks. So we can talk about some of them. We have some of them are stolen credentials. Some are website defacement, where the hacker will go and change the face on the front page of the website. We had system breaches, phishing websites, DDoS attacks, as well as inappropriate content.
That was Abdulaziz Al-Zarouni, who was an information security engineer at AE CERT, explaining what kinds of cyber attacks the TRA has been busy fending off. I also wanted to find out what the process of fighting off a cyber attack was like. We know the TRA is mainly responsible for government websites. They have a team that works around the clock to monitor all these different government websites to make sure they're safe from cyber attacks. But what happens when there is a breach? I asked Abdulaziz from the TRA to tell me more about what happens behind the scenes when they're faced with a potential attack.
If a website we are monitoring got hacked and got defaced, and there was a file that got uploaded to it or got changed totally, we immediately have the people and the system that monitors it 24 hours, and immediately we'll get a notification, and we will notify the constituent and go through the steps with him or with them if they need to until they fix the issue. And in the other way, if they have some incidents, they get to report it to us immediately, and then our incident response team will go immediately to them and go through the steps of the incident response to tackle the problem and see where the hacker came from and do every step to make sure that it will not happen again.
It's something that we're seeing more and more of, Mohamed, but this is the question that we really need answered. What can businesses do to protect themselves against these kind of attacks?
Right, so the main thing here is that they need to be on top of things. Businesses firstly need to invest the right kinds of cybersecurity software. It is so worth it to spend some money now and buy the right kind of antivirus rather than regret it later when there is some kind of breach. The other thing that businesses should be aware of is that they always need to update their systems. We know that the only thing people had to do to be safe from the recent WannaCry ransomware attack was update their software, but many firms didn't do that, and they paid dearly for it. I also asked Abdulaziz Al-Zarouni from the TRA what steps businesses needed to take to stay safe from cyber attacks. Here's what he told me.
System admins, as well as public people, you can, first of all, make sure that you have backups all the time, and these backups are isolated from the network that you are using. Make sure that you are having your system patched all the time, as well as having the antivirus and updating all the software that you have.
That was Abdulaziz Al-Zarouni from the TRA explaining what steps businesses here in the UAE need to take to stay safe from cyber attacks. But what about the general public? What can we do to make sure our phones and laptops are safe from being hacked? According to Abdulaziz from the TRA, a lot of the same principles that apply to businesses also apply to personal use. So here's what he had to say when it comes to personal use and cybersecurity.
The same tactics could be used by the public, and at their personal life, at their personal computers, their mobile devices. Make sure that you don't click on unknown links or attachments, because most of these attacks, or many of them, come through that, because you will put all kinds of firewalls, security, prevention systems, but then one of your employees or one of the people will click on the unknown link or download unknown attachment from someone he doesn't know who he is, and he will just download this thing and to get into the system and hack the system. So we tell everyone, we advise everyone not to click on anything that they see or just believe anything that they see. Always be cautious.
That was Abdul Aziz Al Zarouni, who is an information security engineer at AE Cert from the TRA, explaining what me and you can do to stay safe from cyber attacks.
And he ended there saying, Mohammed, always be cautious.
Yeah, I think that the thing is just to use your common sense, right? If something looks too good to be true, it probably is, right? Just exercise a bit of common sense, download the things you need to download in terms of cybersecurity, and you should be good to go.
I think, Sally, it's quite reassuring, isn't it, that they have foiled these number of attacks? Because I feel like we've talked about this quite a lot recently, Sal.
We have.
On this programme, I mean, across the network, but on this programme particularly.
Because it's coming up more and more. But the thing is, it's all very simple, isn't it? It's all about just making sure you're up to date with your security software, installing all the updates all the time, and just being vigilant and just really aware. So thankfully, the answer is not too difficult in terms of protecting yourself, but it's great to see the TRA working on this.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you very much, Mohammed. That's Mohammed Suleiman there from the ARN News Centre with an update on, well, cybersecurity. Thanks, Mohammed.
Thank you very much.
Okay, Sally, what else is going on today?
Well, you know that the Expo 2020 is around the corner, Claire.
It is.
Very close. So Expo 2020 Dubai is giving a number of startups a boost in funding under its Expo Live initiative. Expo Live is an innovation and partnership program, and one of its aims is to support young businesses and showcase them at the mega event. They're eyeing organizations from all over the world, including ones from the UAE, and giving each of them an initial $100,000 or 368,000 dirhams in funding. Yusuf Karas is the vice president of Expo Live. He takes us through the process.
The program really started last year. Well, we had a pilot phase. We opened up in May of last year. We got 575 applications from 71 countries, brought that down to about 33 of them who came to Dubai and did a live presentation in front of our evaluation panel. And of those 33, 29 got a grant. So we do have a quite transparent selection process that is finalized with an evaluation committee that makes a call on whether this individual gets a grant or doesn't get a grant. When we identify grantees, winners, they receive a first 100,000 grant. As we roll out from now to 2020, we're very inclined to providing additional support and making sure that these individuals do make their way to Expo 2020.
So three UAE startups have been included in the latest round. They've already received more than 1 million dirhams in funding between them. One of them is Smart Labor, a technology company that aims to help blue-collar workers improve their job prospects. It's a digital learning platform that provides voice-enabled content for workers in the language, as well as smart services to make their lives easier. So that's just one of the ideas that has received the funding. So it's exciting stuff.
Don't you find, because we've been talking about the Expo for such a long time, it seemed like such a thing in the distance, and now it really is fast approaching, Sal.
Yeah. You used to think, oh, it's years away. It's, you know, we've got loads of time and whatever. It's around the corner. It's like less than 2 years away.
And very exciting when lots of positive news about it comes out like this.
More of Drive Live coming up only on Dubai Eye 103.8.
First, though, we're going to run through some of the top news stories.
Yes, we are, including transport projects. Now, the value of ongoing transport projects in the UAE crossed a record 321 billion dirhams during the first half of this year. That's according to a new report by intelligence provider BNC Network, which found that as of last month, there were more than 480 active projects in the Emirates. Of that number, more than 360 are road initiatives, while close to 40 are ongoing rail and metro projects. Earlier today, Mohammed Suleiman from the ARN News Centre spoke with Avin Gidwani, who is the CEO of BNC Network. Avin told him that investing in transport infrastructure is a key part of the UAE's plan to diversify its economy.
This falls under the broad heading of build it and they will come. So the government has a strategy to diversify the economy. The leadership has talked about celebrating the day when they have when they shipped the last barrel of oil. To make that day a reality, or to make the celebration on that day a reality, they need to diversify the economy, and that requires infrastructure. If you want to have people come for tourism, for healthcare, for education, for science, you need to have roads, rail, air infrastructure in place. So the government has a very strategic plan. They plan well ahead, as people who are familiar with the region know, and putting in the transport infrastructure is among the first steps of executing that plan.
Kidwani also explained the impact that Expo 2020 Dubai is having on the construction of transport infrastructure in the country.
Expo 2020 isn't just boosting transport, it's boosting construction across several sectors. You know, as they say, there's no point putting up the balloons after the party's over. So they need to have the transport infrastructure to make that event successful. Dubai Expo provides a specific end date, you know, that drives society towards getting things done. So sometimes projects could drag on for maybe 10 years, and now they're all being accelerated because the leadership has pegged that end date and hinged it to a very momentous occasion. So it's providing that you know, that fulcrum that people are moving towards and have to drive to meet this particular objective.
That was Avan Gidwani. He is the CEO of BNC Network, talking about all of the transport projects happening all over the UAE.
Elsewhere, more than 8 million overnight tourists visited Dubai in the first half of 2017. That's a 10.6% rise from the same period last year. Figures from Dubai Tourism show that India is still the city's top source market, with the number of Indian visitors crossing the 1 million mark for the first time. Saudi Arabia and the UK took the second and third spots. Meanwhile, the city saw 55% more Chinese tourists and twice as many Russian visitors. Thanks to their access now to visa on arrival in the UAE, Dubai is aiming for 20 million annual tourist arrivals by 2020, of course. And Chris Hewitt, who's the Associate Director of TRI Consulting, spoke to the Business Breakfast this morning about the importance of those visas on arrival.
The flexibility of visas and giving them on arrival is a real testament to DTCM and looking at the way that they can try and increase the number of tourists just by working with the authorities to say, let's try and reduce the barrier that we have with visas. Visas are one of the biggest issues facing the international tourism sector. And I know there are a lot of hotel operators, airlines, other professionals in the industry that are really trying to work with governments to try and alleviate the issue about visas and try and make it more of an open border society where people can travel without having to have the hindrance of going through long bureaucratic processes.
Meanwhile, Abu Dhabi has also had a good year in terms of tourism numbers so far. It recorded a 30% year-on-year increase in the number of hotel guests in July, mainly due to the Eid al-Fitr holidays, which saw many premium hotels fully booked. From January to June, the capital welcomed more than 2.2 million guests to its 165 hotels and hotel apartments. That's a 7% rise from the same period last year.
Now, a great story. A two-year-old Indian girl who was born deaf will soon be able to hear for the first time. She'll be undergoing a series of surgical procedures for free as part of the Help Me Hear initiative by the Ministry of Health and Prevention. The program helps young patients who suffer from hearing impairment who can't afford treatment. The girl is the first ever patient under this initiative. Zina Zalameya spoke to Dr. Iman Al-Hawli, an ENT consultant at the ministry and is part of the team tasked with treating the little girl. She first explained where they are in the course of the treatment.
That child has been born deaf. The family discovered that or noticed that the child is having some difficulties when she was 6 months old. And accordingly, they started seeking some medical help. For us, we started with hearing tests that showed that she is unable to hear. And then we did some psychological assessment. The child is otherwise healthy and normal. We did some imaging, a CT scan, an MRI, just to confirm that this patient is fit for such surgery, and she was. And the ministry had did a social check to see the income of the family because the family income should be less than 5,000 to be eligible to enter that program. So when everything is done, we decided that this child is eligible for cochlear implant, and accordingly we performed the surgery last Wednesday.
Okay, so are there any more steps to be taken? First of all, the cochlear implant was successful. Tell us how that went and what are other steps to be taken to be able to restore her hearing?
Basically, the surgery is to implant a device to open the skin and do some bone drilling, and we insert that device that with that it's connected to the normal cochlea in the ear. We call that an electrode insertion. Then we close that. This procedure took around 1 hour. The child still does not hear because she needs an outer device. It's called the processor, word processor, that will be actually connected by the end of next week, and then we will start the device and child should be able to hear for the first time in her life.
This is a life-changing procedure for her because she can potentially attend a normal school and it make it easier for her to socialize.
The importance of doing such surgery in age under 4 years is that the brain has a center that actually receives words, and that center diminishes after the age of 4 and 5 years old. So the earlier we do the procedure, the earlier we can activate that center, the earlier the child can start hearing words and talking. So she will need an intensive rehabilitation process with that, mainly with a speech therapist, because this is something new for her. And she will start sort of like, she now will start like a normal baby, a newborn, let's say, with a hearing thing. But the good thing, they usually progress pretty quickly because her brain development is at 2 years old. So she should be able to start actually building her dictionary very soon.
So we will be tracking her progress after the surgery next, or after the next step next week. But finally, you said that there was a social check involved to verify that the income of the family was less than 5,000. How much does this type of surgery procedure cost all the way to rehab?
It has an average of 200,000 dirhams.
200,000 dirhams. That's amazing. So you've really changed this family's life. Well, thank you very much for your time, Dr. Iman, and we hope to speak to you again. Hopefully we can visit your hospital and the child.
Sure, anytime.
Dr. Howley also mentioned a study saying that 4% of the UAE population suffers from some form of hearing impairment. So, incredible story. Amazing to hear that. Fantastic.
Always good to hear about these initiatives that help people hear that maybe otherwise wouldn't be able to afford that help. So, well done to them.